Hey, tennis fans, you are listening to Matchpoint Canada, the official podcast of Tennis Canada. We are also members of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. This episode brought to you by Hotel X. I'm Ben Lewis, Mike McIntyre, away for the week. Very happy, though, to be joined by a guest as we are midway through the action from the Miami Open. Journalist working for Tennis Connected. You hear her on the Tennis Channel Podcast Network as well, and she's been on the podcast before as well. Amy Lundy-Dahl, so happy to have you back on Matchpoint Canada.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think a good place to start. It seems like you're a very busy person, writing for various different outlets. I see your face on podcasts, and that's one of the reasons I contacted you. What's keeping you busy in 2024 in terms of tennis coverage right now?
My favorite website that is like my regular gig right now is tennisconnected.com, which is actually based out of Canada and very professional. They've been doing it for many, many years. So it's a great place to kind of spread my wings and write about what I'm passionate about.
That's awesome. I realized actually your first appearance with us was last summer, and you and Mike connected on the fact that Boris Becker is a common tennis hero for you. And that being said, he just had a very short stint with Holger Rune, which was a short-lived partnership. Holger Rune here just losing in Miami 6-1, 6-1. Let's start there as we talk about some action from Miami. Were you surprised by that result among a few we've had so far from the first week?
Yeah, that's not in line with what I know his trajectory had been and what he had been hoping for. He's been going through these coaching transitions. He's back with Murata Glue right now. He's also had some injuries, but I think he was in pretty good shape heading into this tournament. So who knows, maybe just an off day for him.
Yeah, it could be. I want to talk about the Canadians, and I was very excited by, I would say, probably his biggest win in over a year, Denis Shapovalov, really taking it to Stefanos Tsitsipas, gets his, first top 20 win, I think, since the fall of 2022. We saw Felix Auger-Aliassime lose to Zverev, Leila Annie Fernandez going out to Pegula. Who maybe among the Canadians right now are trending up for you, and who may be trending the other direction?
Knowing that I was going to come on this podcast, I watched a little bit of all those matches, and Shapovalov, who I have not seen really sat down and like looked at him in quite a while, because of his, injuries and other things that have been going on. He looked almost like a different player to me in a good way. He looks beefier. I can tell that he's fit, though. He is more disciplined, I think, in some of his shot choices. The flashy one-handed backhand is still there. The lefty serve is still tremendous. And he, to me, is trending up. And I think that win over Tsitsipas is a very encouraging sign.
Yeah, unfortunately, he did lose his following match to Matteo Arnaldi. Felix Auger-Aliassime, on the other end, seems like he's trending in a bad way. This is a player who we obviously saw inside the top 10 back in 2022, peaking at number 6. He wins a match and goes out to Sasha Zverev. Is he a player that, you kind of look at and are sort of wondering what's going on?
There's no shame in losing to Zverev right now, who is looking really, really good. I watched him really closely. He has such perfect strokes, and literally everything he does is almost perfect. Like, I was even watching his breathing in between strokes, and he takes the same breath at the same time, and it's, it's just textbook. So I think maybe he's just too perfect almost. And what he really needs is confidence. In the words of Roger Federer, confidence is the staff that you lean on into coming into every match. And what will give him that burst of confidence? Will it be something external? Will it be some sort of epiphany? Will it be a rock bottom loss? Will it be a great win? Who knows? But I do believe it's going to happen. I think this guy is going to win a Grand Slam at some point. He's too young, he's too good, he's too fit, and it's just a matter of when.
You're going to get a lot of Canadian fans with that answer, Amy. but certainly, I do think he's going to bounce back in terms of epiphanies. I feel like maybe that's what Carlos Alcaraz had in Indian Wells. It's like it all sort of came back together again after, for his exceptionally high standards, maybe slumping a little post Wimbledon. What do you think maybe that title does for him for the rest of 2024, even if we look a little bit beyond Miami?
I had a different thesis on Alcaraz. I didn't think anything was all that wrong, because of his young age, and he turned an ankle on a first point of a match. I mean, it was just sort of a string of different things that were happening to him. Maybe others catching up to him and getting really good scouting on him. So then he has to, make his next chess move. So normal dips and ebbs and flows for, especially for a young player that really is still in development, is totally normal. So I never really sensed that anything was wrong. So I wasn't really surprised that he came out and won Indian Wells.
Jannik Sinner, of course, winning the first major of 2024 and had that, incredible streak finally broken by Carlos. Maybe outside of those two, who do you see on the men's side right now sort of making strides or someone who's maybe been a bit of a standout player for you through the first quarter or so of the season?
I think Zverev is definitely trending up. His first serve is just phenomenal. Forehand errors are coming down. He's getting the results again that he was getting before he had that ankle injury in the match with Nadal. And so that's definitely a player that's trending up. But, I know we're going to talk about this later in the podcast, but it's interesting. Outside of Alcaraz, there aren't really any massive clay court guys that are, in the top of the game right now. So the French Open is kind of wide open, but I know we're going to talk about
Yeah,
that
that's a good point. Novak Djokovic not in Miami, and I wonder, were you a little surprised he pulled the plug on that tournament? Because it felt like, okay, he has the weeks off after the Australian Open semifinals as a result. I mean, that's a great result for almost any other player in the world. Yet by Novak standards, Australia a huge disappointment. Somewhere where he's won, of course, 10 times. Indian Wells makes the early exit, and it feels like he hasn't played that much tennis this year. I was maybe a little flummoxed by the fact that he wouldn't be keen to get on the courts in Miami and try to sort of right the ship. What were your thoughts by him just pulling out?
I was surprised. I know he has a home in Miami, so I thought for sure he's going to go make an appearance there. And then he was photographed actually on the beach after he pulled out of the tournament. So
Yeah, I know.
I think he is, it's what he says, which is he's doing his life balance thing and he's trying to relax and really being as old as he is, he has to really temper the amount that he's on court. He is, though, a really great clay court player. So it doesn't surprise me that he would want to gear up for clay and just get an early take on that. But I don't know if you saw the clip from Casper Ruud that came out last night. He was not pleased with the Miami Open in terms of amenities for the players. And it is a difficult situation because the tournament is basically in a parking lot. Sounds worse than it is. They've done it up really nice. They put down AstroTurf and all that. But the players are, changing in trailers and sometimes it's not like Indian Wells where everything is just top-notch first class. So for a player like Novak, if it's not like 100% comfortable, then yeah, maybe it's not worth his time.
Yeah, well, maybe at this stage of his career in particular. I want to shift course to the women's side. And we talked about this a lot this past week, just the dominance of Iga Swiatek. So fantastic at Indian Wells, what she managed to do. And I I want to say, I feel like her great season is maybe being overlooked by the fact that she lost a little early in Australia. Do you still feel like she's far and away the best player in the world in the women's field right now?
Yes, absolutely. She's somebody else that, like Alcaraz, and I always bring up Tiger Woods in his heyday, because they got so great that we as a public demanded greatness like every single time. And if they entered a tournament, we expected them to win, which is statistically really difficult to do. One thing though that she has done is she has worked on her serve. So she's changed the motion. I don't think it's totally there yet. There's still some hitchiness to it. I do think that percentage-wise, though, whatever it is she's done has given her a little more confidence on serve and is giving her free points, a few more free points, which she needs to, you know, preserve herself and continue with her bakery of bagels and breadsticks.
Yeah, we saw plenty of them in Indian Wells, and she already looks like sort of the forefront favorite right now in Miami based on the first handful of days. Aryna Sabalenka is out, of course, suffering that tragedy. I don't think we could be too surprised by maybe that playing into a factor. Who besides maybe Iga right now is standing out to you as a contender at Miami and maybe going forward as well?
I really like this Emma Navarro.
Oh, man, you stole my pick, by the way. Every name written down, but continue.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, the WTA doesn't have quite the depth of statistics that the ATP has, so you can't get into things like rally length and things like that. She's not a power player. Mm-hmm. She went to college, which is often now turning out to be a positive. She's fast. She's got really good speed. She's consistent. So, I have a feeling that on a slightly slower hard court, that's going to be a really good surface for her. Don't know what she'll do on clay. We'll find out. But yeah, so she would be my star rising right now.
I was looking at a few of her stats just the past couple of days, and I was like, it's incredible. It's almost like she snuck into the top 20 without me even noticing. And as you're right, her defensive skills around the court are so impressive. She seems like she uses a slice more often than a lot of the women's players, which I think that rhythm change can be really effective. And already in Miami, I mean, she's got a big win over Jasmine Paolini, so she's obviously trending in a good way. Where are you at with Coco Gauff right now? Just as a general question, I feel like she's had a solid, if not spectacular, season.
She's phenomenal. With her, I saw a match, I guess it was an Indian Wells match, where she double faulted 17 times, but still won the match.
Yeah.
And she's done that a couple times in her career. It's the type of player who can win with their B, C, D game, who figures out solutions, who throws in variety. Let me try this. Let me try to maybe top my ball, my forehand a little bit more. Let me try to slice a little bit more. Let me approach the net. Let me try something different on my second serve. Just a very heady player and good team around her. Good head on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
She's really, and she's becoming an all surface player, all court player. So I think that she is a threat to win any tournament that she enters right now.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with you there. If we continue a little bit on the women's side, we saw some shots of her training on the clay. We haven't seen her in a long time. Bianca Andreescu. I know right now she's targeting the French Open, Roland Garros as a return. Do you think if she gets back to the courts, she's someone we can sort of throw into the mix as a contender?
Yeah, I read an article about her that was published just a couple of days ago about her training, and she's taking it very slowly, but she says her confidence is building. She's headed right at this very moment in training, she's heading toward playing competitive sets again. So That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Not known for her clay court prowess, but maybe that's kind of my friend has a theory that that's a good way if you're injured or you take time away or you're trying to make a comeback. Clay is like the ideal surface because you can take the time to wind up your strokes and really make those minute changes. So that might be good for her.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I had a chance to watch a bit of Naomi Osaka's showdown with Caroline Garcia, who's now gotten her twice this year, and a couple of great matches. Where are you at with the four-time Grand Slam champion? It feels like she's close, I want to say.
So close. You know, the first match that the two of them played in Australia, I looked at the stats and it was immediately clear that Naomi needed to make more first serves. I think she was below 50% in that first match. Well, today she did make a lot of first serves, but so did Caroline. And there might have been only a 1 point difference in total points won. It was an excruciatingly close match. So even though Caroline won in straight sets, Naomi is making progress for sure. She looks fitter. Her accuracy is coming back. Her power never left. So, she's headed in the right direction.
Let's shift over. I mean, the season hasn't shifted over to the clay yet, but I always sort of get amped up for that change in surface as we're in the middle of Miami because you feel it coming. As we make that change, maybe which players or what storylines might you keep an eye on? We'll start with the women's side.
Well, Iga, it's like, can anyone contend? Because she's won Miami before, and she could win again. And then if she's got this big Masters 1000 level tournament going into clay season, which is her best surface, it's like, what more does she need? So it's one of those situations where there's a dominant player, almost like Nadal in his heyday, going into clay. Is there anyone who can take this person down? And also, it's a long clay season. There's a lot of tournaments to play going into Roland Garros, and it's about like not overdoing it or not peaking too soon.
I don't think we have many clay court specialists on the women's side in particular, but one player that of course I'm fascinated to watch. I watched her first match in Miami, Simona Halep, getting to go to her preferred surface maybe so quickly after this return from a doping suspension. Like, she handled herself pretty well in that match against Paula Badosa. Then you wonder, is that going to be a bit of a leg up for her in her return to jump on the clay very quickly?
She said after the match that she hadn't really been planning on playing Miami. It was a surprise to her that they gave her the wild card. So, she was thinking that she would just start on clay and ramp it up that way. So I do think it gives her a leg up. Now she's got a match in competition in which she won a set. So it's definitely a good sign.
I'll ask the same on the men's side, storylines or players maybe you're tracking. It feels especially difficult right now to forecast who would be your top player as we head into the clay court season for the men.
Right. So I was like, I saw that question on the list and I was like, okay, let me look at who's really good on clay, who's in the top, 25 in the men. And you got two really, Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic. Sinner is obviously an all surface player and he grew up on clay. But he really is his best record by far really is hard court. And I think he has like 11 titles on hard court to only one on clay. So that's not like a slam dunk that Sinner is going to be one of the favorites, but for the fact that he's really good. He's one of the best in the world right now.
I think for Jannik Sinner too. We haven't seen like the peak of his level, which I mean, we're seeing the best version of Jannik Sinner now for the past 5, 6 months. I always say we kind of saw his breakout because he won the title in Toronto, his first Masters 1000. So we haven't seen the Grand Slam version, the Masters 1000 champ version of Sinner on the clay yet. So now is he a bit of a transformed, more confident player that we see more success on clay?
Yes, I think there was some poll that was done on Tennis Channel, and it was like, what is the most improved stroke among men on the, in the top 100 or something like that. And the thing that won was Jannik Sinner's serve. But on clay, the serve just ever so slightly isn't quite as important. So, how does this all translate? How does this all shake out? I mean, I like the guy's mentality for clay. And he's extremely disciplined. He's cool under pressure. Nothing rattles him. He has great results on clay. It's just, in comparison to his hard court results, maybe not quite that elite.
And he kept his calm just today as we record this in Miami, battling from a set down to beat Greeks were really impressive performance. Amy, it's always a delight to catch up with you on Matchpoint Canada. We love following your work. Where can we follow your work for our tennis fans who are interested?
Well, the show is three on the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, and we're going to keep going as long as Djokovic is still playing and Nadal as well. At some point, we'll go through a format change, but we're going to keep podcasting. And tennisconnected.com is the site that I regularly write for right now.
Awesome. Amy, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it, my conversation with tennis journalist Amy Lundy Dahl. Reminder, this episode brought to you by Hotel X. Looking for the perfect urban getaway for your next family vacation? Look no further than Hotel X Toronto, the city's premier urban resort. With its state-of-the-art fitness facility, 10XTO, and four indoor tennis courts, there's something for everyone in the family. That's not all Hotel X has to offer, with luxurious amenities from the rooftop pool to the award-winning Guerlain Spa. From the 250-seat cinema to the three-level sky bar, there's so much to see and do, all under one roof. Whether you're visiting Toronto for business or pleasure, Hotel X is the perfect choice for families and individuals alike. Book your stay today at Toronto's only urban resort, Hotel X Toronto. Experience the extraordinary. As we wrap up, Leila Fernandez getting one win at this tournament before going out to Jessica Pegula 7-5, 6-4. Positive steps for Fernandez in this one. She led 5-3 in that opening set. Pegula plays a great return game, turns the tide, shifts the momentum, rallies for a two-set victory. Leila was right there in this match. She broke a few times, actually. Very competitive second set, just couldn't take care of her serve. That was the issue there. Pegula getting a lot of looks on her return games and converting 5 of 13 chances. So that's your difference. No shame losing to a top 10 player. World number five, Pegula advancing to the round of 16. As we said, Denis Shapovalov getting his best win of the season, best win since October of 2022 in Vienna when he beat Taylor Fritz, taking down Stefanos Tsitsipas in straight sets. Then ran out of steam in the third round to Italian Matteo Arnaldi, falling 6-3, 7-6. Dennis fought hard in this one. He was down 5-4 in that second set, played a perfect return game to break at love, and again, falls in a tiebreaker. Dennis now 0-6 in tiebreakers this season. You have to feel like that's a bit of bad luck, and that will turn, especially with his explosive serve and game. Maybe a couple uncharacteristic decisions at times, coming to net at the wrong time. Arnaldi, very talented player, though, so no shame there. Felix Auger-Aliassime, as you know, one win against the Australian qualifier Adam Walton in straight sets, then goes out to Sasha Zverev. So Canadians now getting set for the clay court season. Some Davis Cup news. Canada knows their grouping for the finals group stage, which is going September 10th to 15th in Manchester. So Canada set to face Argentina, Great Britain, and Finland. It's the top two out of the group who advance to Malaga in November. So maybe Great Britain with an edge there, having the home crowd, and some great players, of course, Jack Draper, Dan Evans, just to name a couple. We'll see who Canada can send. Hopefully, Felix or Dennis can be involved, maybe both. That would be great. I know Milos Raonic would love to play Davis Cup again. He was there in Montreal, but we saw him on the sidelines as a spectator, rooting the group on. Wasn't fit to play. I'm sure Gabriel Diallo, probably Alexis Gallarneau, could have a big role as well for Canada, as they'll try and return as champions. They were 2022 winners for the first time ever in the country's history. So September 10th to 15th, they'll be competing in Manchester. We will be back for another episode of Matchpoint Canada next week with Mike. He was off today. Guys, you've been listening to Matchpoint Canada. We will talk to you next time.